Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. And Jesus answered, "Not my will, thy will be done." Jesus didn't cheat. He had to find out who he was, just like you and I and our kids have to find out who they are. That's why the local church is the most powerful thing in the universe. You don't find out who you are unless you get around the people of God, unless you get around the Word of God. You're not born with it. Kids are born a thumb-sucking doofus. I had six of them, I guarantee you. They're not born adults. They're going to mess up the britches and puke up, mess up, and first word they learn, no, no. That's the first word they learn. That's why the Bible's full of scripture about teaching and training children. God was looking for Abraham. God was looking for a guy who had passed on the faith to the next generation. He picked a 100-year-old man who couldn't have children. Now, you think about the humor of God. I think I got my guy. I'm going to pick him. I said, "Well, Lord, that's not a good choice. I mean, he couldn't even have kids when he could have kids. He can't have them now. He's too old." And besides that, he lies a lot. And he's tried to give his wife away twice. I mean, it's in the book. "Yeah, but I know him." "What do you know about him, God?" "I know that he will teach his children and his children's children all about me." I'm not looking for a perfect person. I'm looking for somebody that'll pass on the faith to the next generation. So it's critical with people that learn how to pass on the faith to the next generation. So he goes on out here and he said this. All who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents did not know what to think. You know, Mary and Joseph, they didn't know what to think. "I don't know. What is this?" They didn't know what to think. They said, "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been friends." And every time moms get mad, they drag dad in on it. Dads don't care as long as we got, "Okay, I found him. Come on, let's go with us." And mom wants to know why you did it. Where were we at? What were you thinking? What were you doing? And it's like they ask a million questions and dads just don't care. "We got him. Let's go." And so Mary's dragging dad in on the thing. "So we've done it. We have been frantic searching everywhere." Well, Jesus answered, it's in red in your Bibles. "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house, or I must be about my father's business?" Now here's a 12-year-old kid said, "Why did you have to look? Didn't you know where I'd be? I'm trying to figure out who I am." And it said, "They returned to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them, and his mother stored all these things in her heart. And then Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and favor of God and favor of man." Jesus had to grow up. Your kids have to grow up. If they don't grow up with the Word of God, they're not going to grow up. They're going to be a doofus, thumb-sucking, money-costing doofus. That's why there was no option about whom shall we teach the deep doctrines of God, those weaned from their mothers, line up on line, precept on precept. We have to teach the next generation. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old he'll not depart from it. Ephesians 6:1-4 talks about teaching and training. The Bible's packed. How are they going to get it? Somebody has to teach them daily the Word of God. If you don't teach them daily, not just once a week Sunday, if you don't teach them, they're not going to know it. The abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Somebody, you get somebody in a 5-minute conversation. I learned this as an engineer. You get anybody in a 5-minute conversation, they'll enter their brain. Don't talk, just ask questions. It's like milking a cow. If you ask questions, people love to talk about themselves. Don't you talk, you shut their mouth, they talk. I learned this as an engineer. I learned about my competitors. We'd visit them once a month. I had a great boss who trained me well. Going to visit the competitors, going to take them to lunch. Just ask questions. Don't tell them what we do. We don't need to tell them what we do. Ask what they do. They'll brag all day long. We would visit our competitors, go to Atlanta and different companies who had other companies like ours did, and we just asked to take a tour. People would let us in their plant. They asked one time we went down to Southwire, the biggest in America. "Can I help you?" "See, I'm Bill Clark. It's Joe McGee. We're from Triangle Wire and Cable, Sykes, Missouri, one of your small competitors. We'd like to know if we can take a tour of your plant." And he said, "What for?" "Well, you do things a whole lot better than we do. We just like to see how you do it." And he leaned his head back. He busted out in a big old laugh. And he said the most eloquent cuss words, 5 cuss words in a row. "Well, blankety, blank, blank, blank. Come on in." And he gave us a tour for free. And he bought us lunch. I wish I had time for that. That's a whole seminar. You learn by asking, not by out-talking, out-bragging, out-telling somebody. Shut your mouth and ask questions. You'll never learn unless you ask questions. But people are so arrogant, they won't do that. So, If Jesus grew, he grew in four areas. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature, favor of God, favor of man. These are the four cornerstones of all parenting. How did Jesus grow? We grew in wisdom. Read Proverbs 1. There's only four kinds of kid in Proverbs. Now, there's dozens of scriptures for each one of these. Four kinds of kid in Proverbs. There's a wise child, a simple-minded child, a foolish child, and a scornful child. If you're not wise, you're simple-minded. You're not evil. You're not full of the devil. You just have no wisdom. You keep doing the same dumb thing over and over again. Why? You have no wisdom. Because wisdom's the principal thing, Proverbs 4:7. Therefore, get yourself some. Wisdom comes only from the fear of God. Psalm 34:11. Father, teach us to fear you, for the fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10, Proverbs 1:7. Fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. Fear of God's the beginning of knowledge. If you don't fear God, you're a mess. I tell people all the time, so what did you do? I wasn't that holy. I don't know that much, but I learned early in my life, I pray twice a day over my kids, and they're all adults. I still pray it. I prayed it this morning. Father, teach my children to fear you, for the fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. With that wisdom comes long life, riches, and honor. Proverbs 3:16. I want long life. I expect my kids, if Jesus tarries, to come to my funeral. I'm not coming to yours. Long life, riches. You're going to get your own money. I'm not going to write checks for you forever. You're going to get your own money, and you owe me. Parents left for children, children left for the parents. You owe mom and I. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running. You owe us. And people laugh because they think we talk like you owe us. You're going to send us on cruises. You're going to do it. Yeah, we're going. We've been on great cruises. We're not paying for it. You owe us. I got mad one time. The oldest daughter, now, she's a great kid. A college professor, got her doctorate, teaches at Northeastern State. I got mad one day. She got mouthy with her mother. I didn't hear what she said, but I heard the words. They weren't good. And I walked in and said, what'd you say to your mother? I'm talking to mom. That's between mom and I. Oh, no, no, no. See, mom and I, we're forever. You're just passing through. When you talk to her, you're talking to me. What did you say? She said, I'll be glad when I leave. Will we too? Honey, we've been dreaming of this since you came out of your mother's womb. We are looking forward to the day you leave. We just didn't think you were ready yet, but if you are, praise God, I'm excited. I went upstairs, got our suitcase, brought it down and put it on the kitchen table. Now, what can we put in here? Let's see. We got a pack. Now, let's see. Well, we can't put anything because I own all your clothes. I own all your shoes. We'll close this back up. Let's see. Now, what are you going to drive? So I looked out in the driveway, and we had several vehicles. So let's see. Well, I own that. I guess you're going to have to, if you leave now, you're going buck naked and barefoot because I own everything you got on. Maybe you'd like to stick around a while and grow up and get your own education, your own money, your own job. And it worked out really good. She did. And we hear with so many, because we do lots of questions and answers at our seminars. And again, we're doing a lot of seminars every year. People say, well, how do you get your kids to mind? I said, I don't understand that question. I do not understand. I don't understand today. I'm 65. I don't understand. We just told them what to do. You do what we tell you. There's not an option. Well, we want to go. And their kids would do stuff like, Dad, we want to go to Billy Bob's house, you know. And so, I don't know Billy Bob. You don't go to any house I've not been to first. If I don't know those parents, you're not going there. Dad, we're going to so-and-so and said, we're going to be out. And said, it's going to 2 o'clock in the morning. We're going to build a bonfire, have a good time. So I'll be home about 2:30. I said, well, that's not going to happen. So we got a simple system in our house. Sun goes down, you go to sleep. Sun comes up, you get up. So if you go anywhere, you'll be home by 11 o'clock. Even when they were in college dating, you will be home by 11 o'clock. If he doesn't bring you home by 11 o'clock, you're not going on a date with him ever again. So we had standards. People said, we just set up standards. Not because we were smart. We just had a lot of kids and realized we got to get a handle on this. We had a 30-day calendar on the wall, braceable calendar. If you go anywhere in my house, I better have a 24-hour notice. Dad, can I go over to so-and-so's this evening? No. Can so-and-so come over tonight? No. I'm not that holy. I need 24 hours to pray about it. You don't do anything unless I got a 24-hour notice. Now, if you give me a 24-hour notice, we'll send you, put money in your pocket, pick you up, and you're ready to come home. But not if I don't get a 24-hour notice. And so the first 5 dates, when they started dating, he said, how'd you do that? I said, well, first 5 dates, if a kid wanted to date our daughters, you know, and we had 5 girls, I said, you anybody ask you on a date? Tell them yes. Can you go out Friday night? Yes, I can, but you'll need to ask my mom or my dad. All of our dates are screened through them. Here's the number. You can call the house. And so it worked really good. So we had this one kid, and he's a great kid. I really liked him. So we called the house, and Mr. Gannon, I'd like to take Jessica out Friday night. I said, no problem. So I need to see you for 30 minutes before Friday. I can see you after school, see you after ball game, see you at gym tonight, but I need to see you for 30 minutes before Friday night. Okay. So the kid actually came out to the house on Thursday, came out of the house, and Mason made some fresh apple pie. We had apple pie and coffee. We're sitting at the table. We're just talking. I just need 30 minutes of your time. I'm just getting to know him. I'm not asking anything hard. I am going to ask one question of every male that dated my daughters. One question. Somewhere in this 30-minute conversation, I'm going to ask you, son, what do you see yourself doing 5 years from now? And he gave me this answer, pretty much verbatim. Well, Mr. Gibb, when I get out of high school, I'm going to get a job at the new McDonald's down here in Bixby. I'm going to get a Ford F-150 pickup, a Beretta 300 shotgun, and a hunting dog. And that was his five-year plan. And so I remember thinking, well, I said, you need to have another piece of apple pie. Well, that's all you're getting at this house. Because I'm fully confident with the vision you have, you can get there all by yourself. You don't need any help. Because women are made to be helpmates to men. If a man's not going anywhere, he doesn't need help going nowhere. You don't need any help. You're just looking for a date, and we don't get those here. Every guy that came into our house is a potential husband from day one, from minute one. If I don't see his potential husband, I'm not going to give you much time. So the first 5 dates were with us as a family, and sometimes they didn't make it past that. Because I'm going to put you out. You don't come dressed up and smelling like cologne driving your daddy's car that your mama's gassed up for you. I'm going to put pressure on you. We're going to stack firewood. We're going to build walls. John was like, man, we're going to work you. I'm going to work you like a dog. So you better have the old jeans on. And we're going to shoot. I got our own basketball court. We poured out there in the country. I said, my daughter, she's an all-state basketball player. She's going to whip you bad. I'm going to test your manhood today. And said, I'm going to make you look stupid. Because if you can't handle that, you're not meant to do anything. Because God says he exalts the humble. I don't need an arrogant male. I need a humble, teachable male. I need you to be teachable, not arrogant. So if you come bragging what you've done, you're not done nothing. You're not done anything. You can't do it for my daughter. You don't even have a job. You're not even out of high school. You don't even own a car. You can't put gas in it. What can you do? You're nothing, nobody, going nowhere. But what happens is, Bobby Trent and Jim Trowley wrote a great book, Christian, a couple of years ago, called Too Close, Too Soon. It takes 300 hours time a boy meets a girl before sexual intercourse is going to take place. Get tired of holding hands and kissing like the French, the Germans, the Polis, you know, do a world tour, come back to America. And what happens is you're not supposed to spend that time alone. You spent too much time alone with the opposite sex. What did you think was going to happen? I mean, people just ask me the dumbest questions. Kids, how's the school administrator? They come in, great kids, Christian kids, spirit-filled. We don't know what happened. We just did it once. Well, you know, do you ever read that scripture? You know, if you sow human seed, you reap human crop. Now we're going to help you, we're going to love you, but you can't go to school anymore, and we're going to help you every way we can. Again, get you a GED, and we're going to help you. I'm not against you, but you just decided to grow up really early. So adults do things different than children do, and it was hard because nobody would tell them the truth. And so we started changing. So man, we made all of our high school kids go through the course. We took all of our high school kids to divorce court once a year. We're going to take a half a day field trip today and had to get permission from the parents. We're going to go down here, visit the county jail. I want you to go to the county jail. I want you to think it's so cool to steal those stop signs, those yield signs. I want to show where people go that do that. So we're going to the fourth floor of the Tulsa County Jail. They're going to have 4 men to a cell. They're all in orange jumpsuits. They don't eat macaroni and cheese from Kraft. They eat that generic stuff that's going to plug up your colon, I guarantee you. You do not have a private bathroom. There's a stainless steel toilet with no lid that sits in the middle of those cells. If you go to the bathroom, hopefully you have 3 guys watching you, or you're going to be constipated for a long time. I want to walk you through where adults go. So we go to state prison, visit the prisoners, state prison. Now we have ministry. We go down there and minister to them. But I want you to see, if you think you're the big bad boy, there's somebody bigger and badder somewhere else. You think you're the bad thing? You're nothing. There's some bigger and badder around the corner, I guarantee you. Then we go to divorce court. Now, guys, I tell them before we go, when we're in the balcony, Tulsa County divorce court's got a balcony, we're going to go in there, don't say a word. What you're going to see in here today are 2 people at one time swore their undying love. I love you and I love you. And that's who you're going to hear today. And you're going to hear every nasty 4-letter word you've ever thought of, and some you've never heard of, spoke between 2 people, at one time swore their undying love to one another. Because love's not what you feel, love's what you do. It's the most expensive 4-letter word in the universe. For God so loved, he gave, it cost God everything to love us. If love's not cost you something, that's not love. So I tell the kids, the girls, especially when they were dating, has he bought anything for you lately? What did he take you to eat? Did he get you any gift? Because if he's not giving now, he won't give later. If he's not taking you now, he's not going to take you later. He's going to go backwards. Because I know I was that way. What are you doing? I want to get married eventually. I saw a good-looking girl. I wanted to marry her. Why? Look at her. She's good-looking. Smells good. Cooks good and kisses good. Let's get married. But the problem is, 2 weeks in our marriage, she started talking. And she wouldn't shut up. And so we learned that word, shut up. You shut up. Shut up. Shut up. And we didn't have a clue what love was. Love's the greatest. Marriage is the second greatest thing God ever gave humans outside of salvation. But there are rules that go with it. And we didn't know what they were. So anyhow, let's go back to this and close this up. Jesus grew in wisdom. Four kinds of people. Wise, simple-minded. Simple-minded people, they aren't mean. They just have no wisdom. If you stay there too long, you become a fool. The Bible says a fool is like a dog that pukes his guts out and he goes and eats it again. There's no future for a fool. So if you go simple-minded, you go there, you're going to eventually go to become a fool. Fool can't do anything anybody tells them. Teachers love fools. They have great potential, but they won't do it. If you stay a fool too long, you become a scorner. Scorners hate those that love them. They don't like anybody or anything. I hate them. I hate my parents. I hate life. I hate them. I hate this. What happened? You're a scorner. You're at stage four, and that's a dangerous place to be. Somebody needs to pray the fear of God on to you. Somebody needs to pray labors across your path because you're in a bad place. So I wanted wise children. Well, how do you get wise? Well, if you walk with wise people, you become wise. So we had to check out who your friends are. You know, I don't let you be a friend with anybody. You know, we love everybody. We're going to give water to thirsty people, food to hungry people. We're going to help sick people and get them healthy again. We're going to visit people in prison. But we do not spend spare time or eat lunch with people that don't believe what we believe. You want to go to lunch? No, not with you. You want to hang out? Not with you. Why? You're trying to take somebody to hell. The devil doesn't show up with horns and a pitchfork. He shows up looking good, smelling good, and talking good. He's an angel of light. So if you don't teach your kids early enough, like, guys, I want you to have a great life, a blessed life, but we live on an alien planet. Satan is the god of this world. He steals, kills, and destroys. He's got lots of people doing it. You better be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. You better have the mind of Christ. You better believe for divine favor. You better realize that God talks to you every minute of every day. So you better be listening. Two ears and one mouth. God will order your steps, direct your path. I didn't say challenges wouldn't come. God's going to work all things out to your good if you listen. So we learned that thing about, I want you to grow in wisdom. Number two, Jesus grew in stature. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother with the first commandment, with the promise that it will be well with you and you live long. Verse 4 says, and fathers, it means parents. And parents, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's a lot of King James for this. How do you bring up children? How do you train them? Well, nurture and admonition. You got to have rules, regulations, rewards, and punishment. You got verbal instruction with a view to correct. You're going to tell your kids no 50 times. 50 times a day. I remember one of my kids, I said, have you brushed your teeth this morning? No, we appreciate it if you do that. Next day, did you brush your teeth this morning? No, we appreciate it if you do that. All your family would really appreciate it if you go brush your teeth. You know, and I remember 15 years, 2 weeks, 2 days later, we're in school, in high school. Did you brush your teeth today? Yes, I did. Revelation knowledge has come to our home. Praise God. You don't become a newspaper editor from hell. How many times have I got to tell you? How many times have I? That won't do any good. It's not doing any good now. Just tell them again. We appreciate you brush your teeth. Do your homework. Clean up your room. Go right to your yard. Don't yell. Leave the verbiage off. You're not a newspaper editor. Leave it off and just get to the point. So realize you got to have rules for your home. So we had great rules for home. I want you to live a long time. I want you to be blessed. I'm going to teach you how to serve other people. I expect all my kids and all of them served in office and all their classes. You serve by volunteering, not by being somebody. You know, people appreciate people who know how to serve, not how to show off. We don't like show offs. You might have been most popular, most likely to succeed. We know all those things. I went through school. All my kids did. Half of them didn't make it. Why? They're arrogant. God exalts people who serve, not who show off. You better learn to serve. Jesus said, you want to be great in my kingdom? Become the servant of all. God himself said, you want to be great? Learn to be a servant. So I'm going to help you succeed in school. I'm going to teach you how to serve. You're going to run for class president or class secretary. You're going to volunteer to help with the yearbook. You're going to stay late and help the coach stack up all the balls and get everything cleaned up. You're going to walk, help do the gym. Now, I never let my kids take study hall, ever. There'll be no study hall. You can study when you get home. You go serve somebody. You volunteer to do something. Because the flesh doesn't want to serve anybody, so we learn something. I'm going to teach you how to serve. Number three, number four, Jesus grew in favor with God. How do you have favor with God? When you get to heaven, you want to hear one sentence. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm looking for one sentence. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't hear what I didn't do and could have done and should have done. I want to make sure I did everything I could. So I tell my kids, you're going to learn how to repent every day and forgive every day. You're going to do it on a regular basis. If you're so arrogant you never repent, you're in trouble. Because you're backlogged. You're going to have to repent on a regular basis. The righteous fall seven times a day and they get back up. We're not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. So I realize something. I want you to get that. Learn how to be, you know, what God called you to be. So favor of God is learning how to submit and serve. Be a blessing. Fourth thing is Jesus grew in favor with man. This is the big one. We'll pick this up tonight, but There are more scriptures in your Bible on friends and friendship than there are on the subject of hell. Because the devil's going to try to take you to hell, he's going to do it through a relationship. And it's not through somebody wearing horns and a pitchfork. It's somebody that looks good, talks good, smells good. The devil is an angel of light. It says in the last days when the kings of the earth go to heaven, when the judgment there, they're going to ask, they ask God in Isaiah 55, is that the devil? And they're going to be looking at him. Lucifer's going to be there being judged before he goes to the lake of fire. And God said, yes. And they asked God, and Isaiah said, well, where's his horns? His what? Where's his horns? He didn't have any horns. Where's his tail? His what? Where's his tail? He doesn't have a tail. Lucifer is the single most beautiful thing God ever made. And he's not changed. He's an angel of light. He doesn't puke green stuff. His head doesn't whirl around 360 degrees. His eyeballs don't rub back in his head. He's a liar, though. He is a liar. There's no truth in him. So what happens if you don't know the truth? You don't know how to judge people.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.